Let's go!
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Don Cherry's Grapevine again. And Tim, you have some great news. You phoned me and told me about Apple. And I have to tell you, I am really thrilled because I don't know much about it. You run the whole thing. I just come on and be sensational.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But anyhow.
Del does all the technical stuff for us.
Yeah, but he's not there today.
Yeah.
And neither is Cindy. You and I are just sitting 12 feet apart like Doug Ford wants us to.
Yep.
And tell us about Apple.
Well, we got an email this week from Apple, and it says, "Dear podcast creator, we're excited to announce that your podcast, Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast, has been selected at Apple's podcast Biggest New Show of 2020.
For all right.
Yes.
I like that. You know, and we've had over 2 million listening to us, eh?
Right, 2 million, over 2 million, 2.2 million downloads. And we'd like to thank all the people that have listened and all the people that have followed us. It's greatly appreciated.
Have a lot of fun. And you know, we don't even count down in the States. My friend, an ex-player who got 27 goals, was John Wensink, and he's in St. Louis.
Yep.
And he was driving along in a car, and all of a sudden we come on. I don't understand it, but we don't even count the States, and I know we have a lot of listeners down in the States listening.
All over the world. I got people over in Asia and Europe and everything, so yep. It's,
well, Apple, I want to thank him very much, and I'm thrilled by it, and I really am. I was really excited when you told me. Because you don't know how you're doing. You do this here have a lot of fun at it. And that's really great of Apple. Thank you very much.
That was great. And again, thanks to all the listeners.
Now we have to talk about Hurricane Hazel.
Right.
McCallion.
For people who don't know and paid to live outside of Ontario, she has been the mayor of Mississauga from 1978 to 2014.
Holy smoke. And she's 100 years old and as sharp as a tack. You have a funny story to tell. When she was at, we were at a Mississauga Steelhead game, and Elliot Kerr got us the seat. And you were there. Tell us.
Yeah, we went to. Well, you and I wanted to see Quentin Byfield. We saw Quentin Byfield when he played for York Simcoe.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we wanted
beautiful
to
arena.
Yeah, so we wanted to
remember
see.
Remember going in there, Tim? I said, "What is this? Is like a movie."
Yeah, I forget.
St. Andrews.
Yeah, I think it's St. Andrews Academy, and it's like a movie.
It's like in a movie. Like you see these movies.
Not a blade of grass out, every rock painted.
Yeah, and they had the whites, every white. It was unbelievable.
So we saw him at 15, so we wanted to go see him play for Sudbury because we knew he was going to be a first-round pick.
Big guy.
So
short stick.
And Elliot Kerr got us seats kind of in a box, so we were kind of out of the way, and Mayor Hazel dropped the puck that day. So she came over to say hello, and she stood for 2 periods.
Oh, she's a firecracker, I'll tell you.
She would have been 99 years old, stood for 2 periods. And we're like, you know, I kept saying, you know, Madam Mayor, would you like to sit down? No, no, and no, I'm fine.
Oh, I know. And she still skated. And I remember she was really ticked off at one of the coaches for Mississauga. They wouldn't let her skate in the warm. Afraid she'd get hurt. She'd get hurt.
Yeah, she was in her 90s. She was like, I remember she came out. She roared around. She played women's hockey.
Yeah, I told her she was pro. She was professional. Yeah. And yeah, she did. She was one of the. She and I remember when I came here from the States and I settled in Mississauga. I was here one day. The next day I had to go do Hockey Night in Canada that night, Saturday, and. She said, well, I said, I don't do anything day of the game. She said, you get up there and the Meadowvale. So I went up and I saw all these kids. I mean, they were young. I think it was a Swedish kid up there. And they did love hockey. And women and girls love hockey as much as guys did. And I fell in love with women's hockey then. And back then, it was like a joke.
This would have been like 1982. I mean, they weren't even on the radar then.
No.
I don't even know if they had women's hockey in the Olympics then in 82.
I don't know whether they did or not, but I know they had a big tournament down in Ottawa. And not that I did, but I paid my way, flew down, and did the game for, I forget who we did it for. And then they had a great Kitchener. They had a world tournament, and we won that one. And Del and I was just a little, I got a picture of him, and they wore a thing for Rose, a rose on their thing. So it was just great. And Hazel should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
and
for building for women's hockey, absolutely.
Unbelievable. I mean,
that's a kiss of death, Dad.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. That's it. But anyhow, I still think she could. And she's a Terrapins attack, and she's my friend. And she was the one, when I got fired, she was the one person that stuck up for me. And I thought, uh-oh, she's going to give it to me. Yeah. And she didn't. She stuck up for me. She's a Terrapins attack, and she's my friend.
Well, that's great. Well, this week on the show, we're going to do a little thing. We're still going to run a Grapevine show that we did, and it's a great interview with your buddy, Jerry Cheevers.
Yes, he was my goaltender.
And we shot this in Mississauga, and we did two guests a night, and that night was Jerry Cheevers and Bobby Orr.
Oh, yeah.
And it was standing room only. We had to lock the doors. People were trying to get in.
Yeah, they were banging and trying to get in to see Bobby and Jerry.
And Jerry, yeah.
Jerry was...
Jerry's a good interview with you.
Oh, he was a funny guy. He had a horse, and remember he had a horse, Royal Ski. I think it won 7 out of 8. I think it was Seattle Slough was the other one. And I think it won, it was up for a coach of the year. It was between him and Seattle Slough. And I used to really go on getting the puck around the boards. And he had two horses around the boards and off the glass.
Yes.
And he was a funny guy. And I got tell a funny story. He was at Team Canada. Rogie Vachon was our
so this would have been the 74 Canada Cup.
Yeah, 74. No, 76.
76.
It was after the 72 that they had, you know, the big...
So this was the first kind of real big tournament.
Yeah, so we had to win
back
in our... And we were really going... And we ended up with Drizilla at the end, and Sittler got the winning goal. But I remember we had an exhibition game. It was so... And it was for the kids, and it was for charity and everything. And we had 17,000 kids just going nuts and everything. And Jerry was the starting goaltender.
So it was an inter-squad game.
An inter-squad game, and it was a tough game, though. I remember Savard had broken his leg the year before, and Lanny McDonald was a good friend of mine, as he still is. And he cross-checked him, and Savard came back at him. And I remember everybody booed Savard. Then they asked me after, what did you think of Savard? You know, he was a heavy guy. And I said, I don't blame Savard. He's got to be here. What the hell is he doing cross-checking a guy that broke his leg the year before? So anyhow, but that's not... So Jerry was in the net. And I pulled him. I pulled him out. And boy, he was a little... You know, and,
well, tell him the reason why you pulled
him. Well, yeah, I will. But so I'm in the dressing room, and Jerry's a little ticked off. He says, I'm the only guy in the world that's been pulling an inter-squad game. I mean, and I said, yeah, Jerry. You know, I said, well, the reason I did it was, boy, I said, that shot. I said, what a shot he's got. It almost hit you. And the players, you got to think about that. Eh? He's a goaltender.
Well, and, I remember because I remember, I think I was at that game. I think I came up, and people didn't realize how hard Steve Shutt could shoot a puck.
Oh, boy, could he.
And he was just coming down his wing, and he let one go, and it went right by his head. It hit the glass, and it went bang. And, you know, Jerry.
I think he did that on purpose all the time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he used to shoot. He used to shoot high on him. Yeah.
Boy, what a 60 goals he got.
60
one
goals.
60 goals. That year. Now, I'm getting sidetracked here. That year, Canadians had 60 goals on left wing, 35 goals Lemaire, and 52 goals on the other side.
Think about that.
Guy Lafleur. And I keep thinking. But anyhow, Cheevers was really funny. And you should have heard the guys laugh. And he never got into another game. And, the other thing that he used to think he was pretty clever, right? You know, all goaltenders, if you notice, half of them are color guys and everything. I think he's pretty clever. And I remember I used to, with Jonathan and Winsink, they were sort of my guys that I come. And I used to stand at the red line, and I'd pass them the puck, and they'd get just over the blue line on the left-hand side and put it right along the ice, you know. And Cheevers, you know, the practice would be over, and Cheevers would stand at the Zamboni in that corner and just laugh. He'd smile and shake his head. No way, no way. So, and I used to do a day at practice after practice. And I, honest to God, I remember this was in Pittsburgh. And he wasn't playing. He was at the end of the bench. I remember Jonathan come down and let it go just the same way as I practiced, that everything got it the same way. And the goaltender never had the stick straight. He had it on the side. Bing, went in the top corner. So I never said anything to Cheevers. I just kept staring at him, and he wouldn't look at me. But anyhow, he was 32. Imagine going to 32 games unbeaten. Yeah. He used to have ties back in those games. So I had a lot of fun, and he had a great horse in Royal Ski Boy.
Yeah.
And he could have made a lot of money. And he had, I remember he had Off the Boards. He named one horse Off the Boards. And Off the Glass, yeah. And Around the Boards. That was a big thing. He got so sick of hearing that all the time. And, you know, they made a rule. They made, you know, that rule that they shoot it over the glass? That was for Cheevers. They put that in because what happened was if we got a little tired or we weren't doing as good, he was so good, he could handle a puck so good, he put it over the glass. And that's a rule because of Jerry Cheevers.
Yeah. So just before we go and run the interview, just one other thing that I always found kind of interesting was a lot of times on a morning skate, you would just tell Jerry not to put the pads on, just go for a skate.
Yeah, he hated practice with a passion. He was like Terry Sawchuk. He couldn't see stopping pucks, and you know, guys that are great now, they stop. They're just as tough in the practice as they are in the game. But he didn't believe in that, and maybe that's why he lasted until he was at least 36. So I used to let him go in his sweats, and he just loved it. He passed the puck, and he tells a story about how I played a trick on him, and I'll tell you at the end what really happened.
This week in the Grapevine, we got Hall of Famer Jerry Cheevers. Let's go!
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Beauty. Here he is, the greatest hockey player in the world, Bobby Orr. Put her there, Paul, right there. Right here, too. Good
boy.
Right there.
Yep.
Well, you know, Cheese.
I'm playing my team.
Anytime. Yeah.
Well, Grapes, I got to tell you, you know, I've said it many times, a lot of excitement, and I know he's your type of guy, and anytime the tough get going and the rough and the tough, you know the saying?
Yeah.
Jerry Cheevers. Bobby was making me laugh early. He always came through in the clutch.
He
That's
did.
What I wanted
and
to say.
And he's the greatest money goaltender of all time. Blue's got the blue movie. Let's go, Blue, right now. On to Blue. Let's go.
His name is Cheevers, but overachiever might have been more appropriate. Jerry Cheevers, simply put, was outstanding. In 14 seasons of professional hockey, the Boston puckstopper was a veritable rock of Gibraltar. Cheesy would retire in 1980 with 26 shutouts and a goals against average of just 2.89. The St. Catharines native was synonymous with clutch performances. While the likes of Orr, Esposito, and Busick were getting it done up front, the masked marvel stoned the opposition. He was the final bastion of defense, and with Cheevers between the pipes, the Bruins would capture two Stanley Cups. Opposing shooters considered stop a four-letter word, but it was vocabulary Cheevers lived by. Always remembered as one of the very best, goaltending great, Jerry Cheevers.
Cheevers, right there. There you go, pal. You look good. You look good. You like that? Don't you go away, baby. Right back with my buddy Jerry. Put it there.
We've come a long way since Rochester, ain't?
Well, not a long way, Graves. You only went about 90 miles down the road, but we've traveled around. I should say one thing right now. This year, Jerry Eamon, a great American League player, Don Cherry, an American League player, and myself are being inducted into the Rochester Americans Hall of Fame, and it's a privilege to go in the same year as you.
All right, that's pretty good, eh? Jerry, I got him. The guy put it in, he says, you're not going in for your playing, he says, you're going in for your coaching. I mean, that hurt, I'll tell you that. I'm a pretty good player. Oh, I played in front of you, I was a pretty good guy. I mean, a few times you get hit in the...
You were a good guy.
Yeah.
I can't argue that.
Yeah. Not a good player, eh? You're not going to
say anything. I said you were a good guy.
I could fight, though.
Yes, you could. The greatest fight I ever saw, you and Spider Mazur. I couldn't believe it. That was my first year of pro, maybe my second. You hit each other over the head with the sticks. Yeah. You're both in getting stitched up together. I says, I got another 19 years of this to go through.
I think I was about 25. That was a good one. Remember Red Berenson now? You remember the Red Baron.
Oh, yeah. I had gone through my whole junior career, first couple years of pro without a serious injury. My wife presented me with a child the night before, a premature child, weighed 6 pounds, very tough night, and I never went to bed all night. And the first shift down the ice, Red Berenson was a great American League player. He comes down in grapes. And I wasn't sharp that night, and usually when a player come down in grapes, I felt I had to be sharp to bail us out. And anyway, he danced around grapes like I expected, and let a routine shot go, and I missed it, and that was the first time I got seriously injured. I lost all my teeth and 40 stitches. And I want to thank you, or else I would have
been that's good.
I would never have been a complete hockey player.
Crow made you go back, didn't he? Joe Crozier?
I got stitched up and finished the game.
Yeah, stitched up, knocked all the
teeth. You got benched.
I got benched. Well, what else is new? Remember the next day he wanted you to practice. I go in and you said, go in grapes and ask them if I have to practice.
Well, the old Crow, Joe Crozier, we're talking about, our coach, who was a great coach, yeah. I thought. He had some funny ways.
Made you go out, back out and practice. Pitt Martin, another one. I mean, I remember.
That was the safest thing in the world for me, though. I never get hit in practice.
Oh, you're not kidding. We'll talk about that a little later.
Geez.
How about Pitt Martin? That was a scary one, though. I have to admit this one.
That was one of the worst injuries I've ever had in hockey. Once again, Pitt Martin was coming down the ice in the American League, and he was about to either go around or through Don Cherry. I couldn't figure out what at the time. And I thought he was going to go around, and I was prepared for that, but he went through him. And I reached out to grab the puck, and my hand slipped out of my glove, and he skated right over my hand. And I think I was out for a good 2 or 3 months there. It was a terrible injury. And
then you had to...
I don't know why, but...
What are you doing? Remember you had to go to the Hickok Award thing or something, didn't
you? With my hand, yeah. That was the only reason I was invited, because I was injured.
Yeah, teeth knocked out and everything. Now, where are you living? What are you doing now? I think he's found paradise, by the way, but go ahead.
I'm living in the Boston area, north of Boston. I work for a racetrack, which I love. I also just started recently working for a stable where we buy and race horses at a high level, and I'm very excited about that. And I do the color on Sports Channel for the Hartford Whalers.
Now, what do you love best? And I'm going to throw this one at you. And what do you love best? I know back when you played, what you love. You love the horses, or do you love hockey the best?
Well, I love them both equal. We'll put it that way. It's they've gone both together with me all my life, and I enjoy them both. It's if I didn't enjoy them, I wouldn't be there.
Royal Ski, what a horse!
You're the only guy that ever jinxed them.
Yeah.
I had a champion horse. Royal Ski had a champion horse, and Grapes, he isn't a horse player or horse better or anything like that. And this horse should have been 2-year-old champion of the year. He won 7 out of 8 races. And the only day he lost was the day that Grapes bet $50 on it, right?
Said it's a sure thing, and he lost.
I'll never forget that.
Remember, Harry, I couldn't tell you day of the game or something, and Harry, you tell him day of the game. You won three races in a row, and I told you day of the game, and you won the 3 games, and the day I told you and you lost, that was my fault again. Harry was great for that. Now, what a team you played in Oklahoma. What a team there, boy. My brother played on that team.
He sure did, and that was a great team. A lot of guys have gone on, John Paul Parisi.
Yeah.
Cash, that was when I first discovered that Wayne Cashman was a great competitor and winner in that team. Who else but Terry Crist was coaching in
Glenn
the
NHL. Sather.
Glenn Sather was there. Teddy Irvine, I mentioned John Paul Parisi. Peter Panagacko, that was a lot of fun.
Jean Pronovost, 50-goal scorer.
Jean Pronovost, 50-goal, you're right. Yeah. And, boy, you got a good memory.
I don't forget. What do you think, I'm a pretty face around here or what?
You got a good memory.
Yeah.
He wants me to comment on his tie. That's a nice tie, Don.
Thank you very much. Not what you said before.
No,
you knew played. I used to, when we get up 6-1, and we did used to get up 6-1, you were in the net, I used to go nuts because I knew we were going to have in a heart attack any time now. But you never cared about your average, eh? It was always the wins. And what was the record? Now, I want you to tell a record that you set in the National Hockey League.
I didn't set any record. The team I played on set a record.
All right, don't give it that one.
We went 33 games without losing. And this is no kidding.
Of course, you had...
Robert was playing at the time. And I can tell you a story about that record. We went 33 games without losing, and we had first place cinch, and we were getting ready for the playoffs. And our coach, Tom Johnson, decided that he'd rest Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito the night that the streak was broken, and it was 4-0 at the 10-minute mark.
Well, so, that sounds like Tom. Yeah,
so, right.
Won't go any farther than that.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to the interview in a second. But first, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. It's a First Nations-owned online casino and sportsbook, and it's tailored to Canadians. Sign up now and enter the promo GRAPES, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And your first sports bet, you get 20, they'll chip in $25 for your first sports bet.
Holy smokes, that's great.
That's good, yeah. And the nice thing for the Canadians, it's Canadian money. All the other places, you got to put
and
U.S.
And it stays in Canada.
Yeah, you got to put in U.S. money. So, again, that's spreads.ca if you want to put some money on Monday Night Football, or and then hockey's coming hopefully soon, and you can, if you think you know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll talk about the hockey next week as we start off. But all I got to say to the players, something is better than nothing.
Yes. So, and we're going to head right back to the interview with Dad and Jerry Cheevers and Bobby Orr.
You know, you've always been noted as a stand-up goaltender, eh? Now, everybody knows he's a stand-up goaltender. Never got rattled, or he was always in his net. Well, Blue happened to come up with something, a little clip we want to show you. You ready out there, Blue? Let's just show this little clip of Jerry, the stand-up goaltender. Go ahead. There he is. Look at the guy's got. Back again. Shep tries to get it out. Back in again. We were real running around. you can really skate. You can really skate.
I had a lot of faith in my skating, too. It's funny, I tried to sell that tape as an instructional film for young goaltenders.
It didn't go?
It never went over. A lot of defensemen picked it up and everything like that. But I had a lot of faith in my skating, and I relied a lot on it.
Do you remember that game in Philly, that overtime game? Remember that? That was...
It's like two overtimes.
Yeah, two overtimes. It was 10-1. I think he had about 60...
10-1.
10-1. That's what when it ended. Something
like
that.
Oh, the time, yeah.
Oh, not 10-1.
I know we missed last call.
And it really bugs me. You couldn't get to the bar in time. Right. That really bothered me. But you remember that game? That was an unbelievable game.
Yeah, and it was an up-and-down game for two overtimes also. And we're lucky. I think Terry O'Reilly scored the winning goal.
Yeah, I put him on.
But it was your win, no doubt about it. That was one of the fun hockey games I played in too. Because anytime you win in, we've all won and lost in overtime, but it's really really nice to win.
It was nice to beat Philly too, because remember they were the guys that put you out, and they were the Broad Street Bullies. Did we show those guys the next 3 years?
We certainly did. Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on when I got there. How much you guys hated Philly? But remember the Canada Cup back in '76? That had to be one of your favorite times. Tell us about how you drove the coaches nuts.
Well, I that was '76, and as we all know, Bobby played in that series, and you know, all the best players, and I could never make a team like that. I was asked to go, and you have to practice hard, and I was not a great practice player, as Don
that's
knows.
Putting it mildly, but go ahead.
And Don knew that, and he was one of the coaches, and I'm sure that Don wanted me to play and understood me. But the other coaches, Scotty Bowman and Bobby Crum, I think it was.
And Al McNeil.
And Al McNeil, they just couldn't believe that this guy, I could ever be there too. And he was
used to steer the pucks into the net for the...
And Don always backed me in all their meetings ahead. He must have had meetings every day. And Bobby Crum, he just couldn't take it anymore. So he decided to practice tip-ins with me in goal. And I just fired my gloves and sticks at him and walked off.
Yeah,
I couldn't take it anymore. But needless to say, I went through the whole series as the backup goalie. Chief cheerleader, and never got in a game.
That's all right. You had
but
that,
it was a lot of fun.
You better believe it. This is a great Canada Cup this year, wasn't it?
I missed a lot of the games. I was away, but from what I saw, I really enjoyed it.
Remember the game when Sittler set the record in Toronto? What do you get, 11 points or something like that? You were the backup goalie.
That was my first game dressed when I come back from the little hockey. Yeah.
Poor Davey Reese.
Yeah, Davey Reese was a nice guy, and
I think
was
after
his last game.
Yeah, that was his last game he ever played. I looked down at him. It was about the eighth goal. And I looked at Jerry, and I went like that to Jerry. He put a towel over his head and went down like that. But you come back the next night, we shut out Detroit. I never forgot that. Tell us about the WHA. A lot of strange things. You played for Cleveland, right?
Yep.
Besides getting the big dough there, a lot of strange things went on there.
Well, I love the WHA. Really, it gave me the opportunity to meet a lot of different
players.
You played
great against the Russians in that series. You're the most valuable player.
Yes, I was. It's against the goalie had to be that day, believe me, to survive. But I met a lot of new friends in the WHA, and it was a different competition. It's usually in NHL, most practices were optional, and I think of the first couple of years, the games were optional for a lot of players. First game, I'll never forget, we went in there, and I walked in, and I went in to have my usual in between period cigarette, and four guys were having hot dogs. Right? I said, this is going to be somewhat of a country club feeling, but... It was maybe, but not really. It served a great purpose in hockey, the WHA, because there's some franchises. But I should tell one story that Sports Illustrated come to me after the first game of the WHA, and Cleveland did play the first game, and they said, what is the big difference in the WHA and the NHL? And I said, well, where I see it, being a goaltender, every time I look and see number four going up the ice, it's not Bobby Orr, it's Ralph Hapavari. Ralph was a very good kid, played in our team, tried very hard, but obviously he wasn't a Bobby Orr. And his parents sent letters to
him. Oh, they were after you and everything. Oh. They ain't picking up, don't worry.
I said, you try to be funny and it jumps back at you.
Yeah, listen, you remember how we used to go a little bananas when somebody had touched you or any of our goaltenders. I mean, the team was paranoid if you touched, and I'll just show you a little clip with the Flames. You come out and Willie Plett run at you. And Blue, you ready? Run that clip now. I'll show you how we acted. Watch. You almost could kill here. Watch. Look at five guys jumping. Guys jumping over. Watch, you sneak out around here. Let me out of here.
I didn't sneak out. I was out.
Yeah, I tell you, boy, you never touched our goal. Look at there, his high stick. And what a great team. I'm telling you.
Are you going with that?
Yeah.
That was a team with Jonathan and Wenzik and all our guys.
Secord,
a very tough team. And I did. I hurt my knee a little bit that, and I was a little cuckoo there. I got my bell rung, and Don wanted to take me out, and I said, there's no way I'm coming out of this game. We're behind that game, as a matter of fact, 5-1. I want another crack at this Willie Plett. And I know I couldn't lick my lips, believe me, but I wanted another crack at him. About halfway through the third period, it came up, and he came in front of the net, and I leveled him with a two-hander, and he fell into the boards. And I said, well, I did what I wanted to do. Now I have to stick up for what I did. And I was actually going to go with him, believe it or not. I don't know what happened. But I was going to go with him, but I had the stick in my hand. You know, you got to be honest. And I said, I made my bed. I got to sleep in it. And right there, I heard this breathing behind me. And it was John Wenzik, coming off the bench. And I was like the bullfighter, went, olé, and let him go right at it. But I remember that game, too. It was...
I never forgot, I'll tell you. We chased Plek right off
that
the
was
ice.
One of the worst things I've ever seen. It was in the Atlanta, the Omni in Atlanta, and when all this was all over, what we just witnessed there, Plett was behind the boards hiding. I couldn't believe it, in his own rink.
And hid behind in his own rink. Mm. Remember George Plimpton?
Oh, I loved him. He's a great man.
He was, remember Seaweed was, and you guys scared the life out of him, the poor bugger?
Yeah, well, George Plimpton wrote a story on the Bruins. Poor what?
Bugger.
He's a fighter in England, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So, Plimpton wanted to do a story in the Bruins, and for some reason he got to room with this great character we had, Jim Petty, called Seaweed. He was going to play goal in an exhibition game in Philly for 5 minutes, and Don put him in with Jimmy Petty, who was a great favorite of all ours, right? So we used to go to this bar, similar to the Grapevine here, and hang out after practice. And Cash and I led the troops in there, and he wanted to be all part of it, so we got in there. And one thing led to another. We had a very good session that night, drinking beer. And in fact, we had the lacrosse sticks out playing lacrosse in the middle of the bar. It was an awful evening.
Just a normal night for the Bruins.
Normal training camp evening, and Plimpton said I had to leave. This is 12:45. We knew that Don wouldn't be checking curfew that night for whatever reason. And
I was afraid what I'd find.
Yeah, right. And he says, I got to go home because young Jim Petty is a rookie and, I don't want to wake him up and bother him. He's trying to make the team. And we said, don't worry about it. He says, no. So he left. So he snuck in, opened the door, crawled into bed, never made a sound, and was peacefully sleeping. And about 5:30 in the morning, in comes Seaweed Petty. Hi, George. How are you? And everything like that. But George continued on.
And I'm the coach. Can you imagine that? I didn't know that was going on.
We had George played a period for us, stopped a penalty shot by Reggie Leach.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure it was in the satchel or straight up, but it was a good effort. And he went in to get undressed, and then we had the biggest brawl in history of hockey. It was really probably an insult to hockey, too. And poor George, who wanted to do anything to write about it, was in the restroom in the shower, right? That was
biggest disappointment of his life.
Right.
Okay, we got more. I'm going to ask him about the way he used to practice. Don't you go away, Jerry. I'll be right back. Put her there, pal. Right there. Now we're going to get into the way.
I told you. Yeah. I just wanted to ask about if you liked coaching, Jerry.
I enjoyed it. For most part of the time, I enjoyed it. It's, when you win, it's a great feeling. When you lose, you absorb 20 bad feelings, and you take it home with you, too. That really bothered me, too. But I must say one thing, honestly. I learned everything I knew about coaching from Grapes. That's why I got fired.
Jeez, I was all choked up. I never... Well, same guy fired us.
Same guy fired us, same too. We have something in common.
Yeah, same guy. I never brought the game home with me. I left it in the bar, to tell you the truth. Practice, the worst practice player in the world. He used to steer the pucks into the net. You remember that? Remember the time I almost had you going there once?
Well, if we ever got divorced, it would have been this time. We had a week off. We had won the bye, won first place in a bye, and Grape said to me, you don't have to come for practice for the whole week. And I said, well, you know, I got to practice. I'm coming. He says, no, don't go, because he knew I'd ruin practice. The players hated me in practice and everything. And I said, I'm going. He says, no, I don't want you there till Friday. Take a good skate and go play the games. Anyway, I showed up. We warmed up a little bit, and he called all the players to center ice, and he said, you get down the net. And obviously, we were going to scrimmage, and I heard him say something to the players, and there was a little chuckle and all that. And I really didn't apprehend what was going on. Then all of a sudden, Peter McNabb come down in a breakaway, and Peter's a pretty good goal scorer, and he hit me in the stomach, and he raised his arms. And it didn't hit me yet. Then Terry Riley came down, and Terry likes to deacon dive, and he shot into my pads and raised his arm for a goal. And I still couldn't figure it out. Then finally I figured out that Cherry told them at center ice, if they hit me, it'd count as a goal in scrimmage. I threw my gloves and stick at him. It was the closest we came to divorce.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. But, you know, I remember the time I left you in Buffalo. Remember that time? It was what a genius move on my part.
Well, we had a big game in Buffalo on a particular evening, and we played somewhere else the night before, and he was going to play the other goaltender the night before, and I was going to play the game in Buffalo. So he sent me by myself a little early the night before to get a good rest, and that's really a bad play on his part. And I got in there, and I thought I'd go have a couple of beers and got paralyzed, needless to say. Never stopped a puck the next night. We got beat 8-1,
yeah,
and that was the end of that
nice
season.
Nice move on my part. Yeah. How about the story about Bobby in Oakland?
Oh, that was a great story. This is Bobby is, we all know, and even his teammates, you know, he's the greatest player to play the game, and we're killing a penalty. Eddie Jay was playing goal that time, and I was on the bench and was right next to the Oakland Seal bench, and Bobby was killing the penalty, and he liked to rag the puck at all, and he got it, and he circled our net, went up the right boards, and one of the Oakland players hit him, and he knocked Bobby's glove off, but he still controlled the puck, went down inside their blue line, circled around, back around our net. No one could believe what he was doing because he really gave up an opportunity of a scoring chance. Circled our net. The Oakland players started picking him up. Finally, he come bolting down the door, the right side, stopped, picked up his glove, went in and scored a goal. I looked up, and our bench was crazy.
It's a true story.
But the best part of the story was, even though our bench was in a frenzy, the Oakland bench was up cheering too, so I knew we were in good shape.
Tell us a quick story about Bobby Hall, the way he used to come down and blast him. Got to be quick,
though. Oh, my God. You know, thank God I had 3 or 4 sets of underwear. I would never got through the games. He was scary, Bobby Hall was. And we were 2 men short, and I always told my defenseman, like Bob or someone like that, I'd say, you take the short side, I'll take the long side. So the Hull was on the point with Pierre Plott on the other side. He'd pass it to Hull, and I'm supposed to take the middle of the net, and the defenseman, say Bobby or Teddy Green or someone, would take the short side. But I always cheat a little bit, and I'd be right behind them. And he shot one, and I always left my stick there. I could handle my stick pretty good, and I tipped it off the glass, went back to Plott, back to Hull again. And he walked in a step closer. And finally, the defense is moving away. To make a long story short, this happened 4 times. The 5th time, I was tumbling over my defenseman in the corner of the ice of the rink, and he hit it. He had to get it high because I was stopping all the loans. He put it right through the crossbar, through the press box.
And you weren't in the net, he told me.
I was in the corner.
Put it there, Jerry. Boy, let it go. You know what, there? This guy, I won Coach of the Year, and this guy won it for me. Put it there, pal. Blue, take us home right now.
You know, Dad, that was one of the better interviews. And again, I just wanted people like you know, the Cherries and the Cheevers, we were good friends. Mom and Betty were good friends. We used to go on vacation and stuff like that. And that was a great interview. But he didn't really, you guys really didn't go into that story about the pads and him not liking practice. So what? Go in a little bit more detail what happened there.
Well, in the morning skates, I know he was like Terry Sawchuk. He did not like, he couldn't see stopping pucks. in a practice. Now the practice is the goaltenders now practice just as hard in the practice as they do the games. Maybe that's why Jerry lasted till he was 36 or anything. So, and he had a bad knee. So I knew this, and just jump in something else? I used to read about Mike Palmateer. He had a bad knee, and the coach made him practice in the morning. You know, it didn't make any sense to me. Why make the guy? And he was the same as Cheevers. He, when the game was on, he'd win. Anyhow, Cheevers, I used to let him go in his sweats. He used to pass the puck, and he loved it. And 32 on Beaton Street, and he was great for us. But he was a goaltender that didn't care about his average. He just wanted to win. We get up 5-1. You know it's going to end up 5-3, but when it got that there, he'd stop the puck.
Yeah. But you were saying a lot of times he would ruin scrimmages.
Oh, he'd steer the puck in the net. And Terry O'Reilly, who really was intense during the practice as he was the games, came to me and he says, you know, I just hope he doesn't come out because he ruins every practice. It's steering the puck in the net. And he was our leading scorer, Terry O'Reilly. So I said, okay, I call a guy as he tells the story. And I told him he had to hit the right pad. It wasn't his stomach or anything. It was the right pad.
So if you hit the right pad, it was a goal.
It was a goal. And the stupid guys put their stick in the air when they have to hit the right pad. But he treats it as a joke now. But believe me, he did not talk to me for about 2 weeks because all the guys laughed.
But you were saying, like, he didn't catch on right away.
No. He come up to me after the practice, and he says, you know, Grapes, you notice how I'm playing so much better now? As you are, Jerry. And then he found out, he was mad.
Well, so that was a great interview, and we'll be back next week with more. I think Cindy and Dell will be back, and we'll talk about maybe the upcoming NHL and some other things that have happened in hockey. So, and again, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Yes, sir, Apple.
Apple, appreciate Apple for voting us the biggest new show of 2020, and our sponsors, spreads.ca. So again, everybody, thanks very much for listening, and we really appreciate being selected the biggest show of 2020 by Apple.